Do you know how powerful you are? Welcome to Rise Urban Nation.
Welcome everybody to Rise Urban Nation.
Reshaping and elevating your mindset to help you achieve what you believe.
Sometimes we don't even see our own greatness. You can't be what you can't see.
And connecting Black cultures to build a community of talent and success.
Black people need to realize that they are assets. You are an asset.
When we rise, you rise.
Come together as a group.
This is Rise Urban Nation with Terrell Simmons.
1, 2, 3, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. It's your host, Terrell Simmons. I'm excited to give you this next guest that I'm going to share with you. This is my nephew in real life. My nephew, I remember when he was just a young buck, and now he's just doing amazing things. And, you know, he's Black history in the making, so I can't wait to have him come on. We talk about young Tyus Shepherd. He's a digital coordinator, a GW master student, and just political activist. You never know what the young folks actually surprise you. They surprise me every time, and so I'm excited just to see him get on his growth trajectory. He's currently a student at George Washington University, pursuing that master's degree in political management with a focus of digital politics, which I didn't know digital politics was a thing until I started talking to him, and he started talking about his projects. He was born in Las Vegas, Nevada, and is just in the hottest city. And he chose the hottest climate to get into digital politics right now. And so I'm excited for you to learn more about him, his digital marketing experience. And I told him I'm gonna bring him on to help us do a couple of things, because his mind is just brilliant. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, my nephew, Ty Shepherd. Testing, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? This is Terrell Simmons. Welcome everybody to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. I got my little cousin, my little nephew. We got this family in the house, y'all. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna get his dad, his pops on one of these days, but we'll see what happens. But I got Tyus Shepherd in the building. What's going on?
What's up, everybody?
I'm gonna just call you Ty, because that's my nickname right now for you.
I love it.
So where are you joining us from, just out of curiosity?
I am actually in my house in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm born and raised here, and it's hot as hell down here, so
it is hotter than fish grease out there. So I don't know how y'all do it, but I say if you ain't got central AC in Vegas, then it's a problem.
Yeah, 100%.
I like this painting behind you. Thank you. Tell me about this. Where'd you get this?
Mom is the greatest person. She has the best eye, and I don't know where we got it from, but she just buys stuff, and she's great at decorating and all that stuff. So yeah, home design.
Shout out to Vonda Shepherd. Yes. She's just the amazing spirit. She's the one that was saying, like, look, you need to connect with Ty, because he's doing all these big things. He's running campaigns. Yes. And like, you should have seen the project that he just finished for school. He's about to run the world. Yes. I was like, okay, I get it. We need to get him on the podcast. Yes. So come on, so we get, and maybe he give me some insights on how to step my game up.
Yes, and biggest supporter right there for sure. Yeah.
Man, she is your biggest supporter. So tell me, let's do this. For all the people who don't know who you are, because you making a name for yourself in this world, how would you describe Tyus? Who is Tyus? You could go as far and as wide as you want with that. Yeah. Just tell the people who are you.
That's a hard question. I am Tyus. I am someone who is very politically active. I am very creative. I love people. I love my friends, my family. I'm just an all-around person that wants the best for this world. And yeah, I think that's like who I am at its core, you know?
Like, I love it. I never thought I would see the day that you are even remotely closely into politics. So that was like, wait, he's what? Like, how did this happen? Yeah. What? Did, who kind of like put this battery in his back? Because neither one of you, because I don't think either your mom ain't in politics, is she?
She's definitely political. Definitely has very big political opinions. So does my brother, actually. Yeah. My dad, he has his opinions for sure, as I'm sure you know. but I definitely, I've actually always been political in some sort of way, okay, and doing community work. Even when I was in high school, I wrote letters to our senator. I wanted,
really?
Yeah. I've always been pretty politically active, and definitely been politically active with LGBTQ issues, Black Lives Matter issues, and yeah. So okay,
those are issues that are dear to my heart. As you can see back there, I'm a proud ally, from this podcast. I resonate with everything Black. If you Black in American society, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for everybody that's Black. So wait, tell me the high school story, because I didn't know you wrote letters. Yeah, tell me about that story. Well, how did you get involved? What was that?
Yeah, so it was actually more about anti-bullying. We were trying to pass a law. I can't remember the name of the actual policy, but I was bullied severely growing up for being gay. And we were trying to pass the cyberbullying law here in Nevada, and Harry Reid, he actually asked me, through an organization called Flip the Script at the time. I'm not sure if they're still active or not, but during the work, for Flip the Script, I was asked to write a letter to Harry Reid about my story, and we're just trying to pass a law, and I was really heavily active in Flip the Script as well, so... Yeah, and
so, man.
I'm working for I'm still working in a nonprofit right now, currently, for headcount.org. It's a nonprofit organization, or I already said that, nonpartisan organization, and it's focusing on voting laws right now. Well, how do I say it? It's not focusing on voting laws, but it's more about getting people to go out and vote is what it's focusing on.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like the last time our people really got out to vote in big ways was when Obama was in office. You seen everybody out there, and I loved it. We had Black people, we had the LGBTQ community, we had young people. It was like in droves. And I even love what happened back in Georgia when they did that big push before they started pushing these laws back. What's your take on that? What they're doing with those? Well, let me rephrase the question. Yeah. Let's start here. Why do you think people were more active during the Obama years voting than in other times? What was it?
Well, I would say that recently the recent election with Biden actually had the biggest turnout, and I think that had to do with Trump in office, and 2020 was a huge year for the Black Lives Matter movement, and I think with Obama, and the reason why it was such a big turnout during that time, and you saw how big his crowd was when he was giving his inauguration address, seeing a Black man become the first president of the United States, and he was a senator for years, I think people were just wanting to have more representation in who they saw themselves closely related to. And I think that Obama gave them that drive to, sort of go out and vote. And now what you're kind of seeing right now, I think a lot of people, it's kind of like the opposite now, right? Where it's like, there's a lot of policies right now, and a lot of young voters are going and coming out now because of what is happening in our world.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered your question, but
no, definitely answers my question. And I love that we were able to get out in big droves in that. And I'm hoping that as some of these I definitely want to get your take on like what you see happening in Georgia. I love that big push to happen in Georgia. And I think what I'm concerned about is, are we still going to have that big push even with all of the laws and voter repression laws that I see being rolled back? And how is that going to affect? And how does your organization start to work to tackle some of those issues?
So last year, my organization, Headcount, and I was a big part of the campaign, and actually I was hired based off of the campaign that they were working on. It was called Save the Vote. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it's nonpartisan. We want, no matter what political value you have, we want you to come out and vote, regardless of whatever party you are. But, you know, what we were trying to do was get through this campaign was get people to call their representatives and ask them what they are specifically doing about their voting laws and how to create better access to the ballot, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, there's so many voting laws that are passing right now, or suppressive voting laws that are passing right now. And right. Even with certain current law, like in, for example, in Mississippi, and I was just doing a social media post on this. Well, I was creating a social media idea about this, but Mississippi specifically, I mean, 10% of the voting population can't even vote. And that's, and a lot of the people that can't even vote, it's because of felonies, convictions and stuff like that. Well, the majority of the people, the demographics are affected by that are people of color. And this is the problem that I think a lot of nonprofit organizations that are more left-wing are having is that, you know, we're not able to get a federal legislation passed, like a simple federal legislation passed on voting laws. So that's what's the scary thing is that federally, we can't get anything passed. I think that they're looking at passing for the Electoral College. I forget what the policy is called, but I think they're trying to reform certain laws that were indirectly affected with how the vice president can actually like handle the election.
I didn't even know all these things were going on, so that I'm getting an education.
There's a lot
myself.
Of things going on for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I know the latest thing that's going on. This blew my mind that this repeal of Roe versus Wade, and I'm like, wait, what? You what is going on? Like, well, I mean, it hasn't been repealed yet, but the fact that those notes leaked this is even a possibility, and. Like, that just has me in all sorts of disarray.
Well, and especially, like, the idea with Roe v. Wade, it's... So, in 2 months, I believe we'll really find the verdict. But, I mean, this is something that we really have to keep an eye on. Especially with, I mean, gay marriage was, you know, I guess passed, if you want to say. It was ruled through the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You know, so what are the decisions? And even with Roe v. Wade, voting rights, the Voting Rights Act was, I mean, the decisions with that was completely changed voting rights, right? So, you know, that's something with Roe v. Wade. It's really scary. You know, I think 69%, well, over 50% of Americans want abortion, people to have the right to actually be able to have an abortion. And now you're seeing people that are upset with not just Republicans, but also Democrats, because they feel that there's not being anything done about, you know, protecting women's right to their body, you know. And
I feel once we start going down this path, it becomes a slippery slope to all those other things like we talked about. Like, all right, what about rights for gay marriage? And then what other rights are we going to start looking at that we feel were, you know, a given right, whatever, for whatever reasons, whatever belief system that, you know, we have around that. Now, you know, I think the thing that I'm most excited about is that at such a young age that you're so invested in this and you're I feel, and if you are the future, right? Like I feel like I'm an old head in this game. and I've been in then that passing the torch, what does it look like? And how do we leave space for other individuals like yourself to come in and just make a mark and help us change policies, programs, rules, procedures? What do you think was most beneficial for you as far as getting you inspired in this career pathway? Yeah. And really just, you know, emerging as you are.
Just life, right? I mean, politics is life. You know, policies and everything affects, everything with policies affects the way that you can live your life. And, yeah. You know, growing up with my mom, who at one time was a single mom, you know, seeing her be a working class citizen and sleep on the floor for years, and the healthcare issues that she has gone through, those are things that I personally care about. And I know that many Americans also care about as well. And this is why I'm in the place I'm at. You know, I think 2020 was really the year that I was like, this is the career path that I want to choose. And I think a lot of young voters and young people also got really politically active. But for me, I was like, I want to make a full career out of this, you know? So, yeah.
I love that. I always like asking this question because throughout everybody's career journey, it's not where you started, it's how you kind of finish. And then it's the journey in between, right? And a lot of young people who are like just graduating from high school, sometimes when I come into the building and I talk about my career or progression, they automatically assume that I started from this place, like this, oh, well, you always had, you know, this leadership role experience. Like, no, I didn't start out that way. I started from over here, like, you know, no pun intended to Drake, started from the bottom now. Yeah. And so the question is to you, because and I'm hoping that your answer is, oh, I started, this is my first, but what was your first job? And I'm hoping that you're not going to say,
definitely not my first job. No, my first, I actually started working in a law as a student worker in a law
school. Oh, you big time. You worked in the law, like, man, most people work at Mickey D's. You work in the law library. Okay, all right. How was that experience?
It was all right. Like, I loved, it was like low-key. It was, you know, I was just working on my school, and I was like, oh, you know, this is a great job for me while I'm going to school. And at the time, I was actually thinking about going to law school. Obviously that changed, but but yeah, I was just kind of like, you know, this is a, you know, it's like 8 minimum wage, like barely anything. And then I actually ended up, believe it or not, going into student security. student security. I worked as like escorting students to their cars like at night, and I worked in a restaurant. I've had many jobs, so
this sounds like you was all the way to being a law enforcement officer.
No, honestly, not at all. No, I can never.
Now, were there any experiences that you learned in your first job that you kind of take with you today, or anything that you say that you gain as wisdom, even if it's just as simple as like I learned what I didn't want to do?
I think honestly, that's a really tough question, because I don't really, my first job, I mean, it was really simple, I guess, like organization skills, talking to people. But, you know, it's very different from my job now as a digital coordinator. Yeah. You know, I get to work directly with people more now, and I'm able to be more creative. I think just talking like to law students was great. Like talking to people and building that, you know, that communication skills, I think that, you know, helped. You know, the basic needs of any job is gonna go into any other job, right? So yeah.
Right now tell me, what's a day in the life like for a digital coordinator? Like I mean I heard your title, but I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, no, as a digital coordinator, I mean, there's so much, like, every day is different. I work more into, like, obviously, like, political stuff, keeping it nonpartisan. For my company, I got to make sure it's nonpartisan. I'm very partisan, my company's not. You know, like today I was working on like building social media ideas, working with emails, creating like the email copy. It's a lot of like to do with marketing, actually, you know, trying to get information out to the public through nonprofits. It's very similar to marketing, but just in the nonprofit world, and it's to build awareness and also build engagement within our community. So, yeah.
I love that. I always like to say, with the two parents that you got around you with a lot of opinions, I'm pretty sure you get a lot of life lessons taught to you. What are some good lessons that you life has given you? And it doesn't mean it have to be from your parents. Yeah. Don't try to give them a shout out. You give your own life lessons.
You know, my parents are definitely been a huge part in paving the way for me and my brother. My brother is a doctor, so, you know, they really pushed us to go to school and to really figure out what we wanted to do in life. And I think the openness of, like, my mom, for example, she didn't push any type of religion or politics on us. She wanted us to have our own way of thinking. And I think that in itself has really provided both me and my brother that the way that we have come up. And I think that that's the correct way of parenting, is allowing your child to grow, you know, with the assistance, but also like to allow themselves to figure out who they are. You know, I also have a best friend who has also been there and been very supportive in my life. And, you know, me and her kind of, I mean, we kind of grew up together, but, you know, I think through college, like having her there as a support, and, you know, I just learned so much from people and the community around me. So
what's one of the best lessons you've learned?
I think, that's a tough question. Like, the best lesson, there's so many lessons. I don't know. I just think not giving up on your dream is the best lesson I've learned, right? I know that's like very cliche, but working hard to achieve your dreams is the best lesson. And, you know, I see my dad, he works endlessly to, you know, make it, you know, make our family life like great. And my mom is the same way. And I think just working hard and not giving up is the best life lesson I've ever learned.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great life lesson that anybody can kind of take and pick up. What would you do? I mean, like, let's go back on, you know, getting into your specific career pathway. What's some advice? Because you're going to inspire some young person that's like, you know what? I think that Tyus guy, that's the career I want to have. Like, if I'm going to do some marketing, digital marketing or social media, I want it to be for causes for good. And so he's inspired me to follow that dream. What some advice would you give to someone who would like to start a career in your same industry or field?
So I would say, because I actually had a friend recently come to me, and she doesn't really know what she wants to do with her life. Well, she's in social work, but she kind of wants to change her like where she wants to go. And I told her about digital marketing. She was quite interested in it. But for anybody that, like, any really young person, 18 or however old you are and still in high school, I would definitely say start, you know, when you go to college, you're going to need a bachelor's degree for sure, I believe. There's boot camps that I think UC Berkeley has some digital marketing boot camps. Internships are huge. Definitely consider taking internships. you know, just getting to know people in the industry is huge as well. I work in the nonprofit sector, so there are digital, there's different types of digital media companies, right? I specifically work for nonprofits, so I can't really talk based off of like working for an actual digital marketing firm. That's where I want to be eventually. But what I would say is like, really apply for as many internships as possible. There are different types of media, digital media firms. There's ones that don't do any type of politics. There's ones that lean on the left or right, and try to figure out where you want to fit into that space. So yeah.
All great advice. I always say internships are so important. Were you able to take on any internships? And then whether you did or didn't, like, why do you think internships are important for like students?
Yeah, that's why I say take internships. I did not take any internships. It's a lot harder. And a lot of times, you know, when you're applying for jobs, they are asking for some sort of internship in digital marketing. Also, I should also add on to the advice portion. There are other things you can do as well as get, and these are free programs, getting like Google Analytics, Google AdWords.
Wait, Google Analytics and Google AdWords? Yeah. These are free?
Yeah, these are free. You can go online. You can get certifications.
Really?
Yes. So, yes. There's a Blueprint, I believe. So these are programs you can get that will also add to your resume as well. And anybody can do it. Anybody.
So. All right. So y'all heard it first from Ty. Google AdWords.
Google Analytics, Google AdWords, Blueprint. So many. Yeah.
So if y'all out there getting trying to get your digital marketing experience game up, get your hustle on, add some, like, beef up your resume, do what Ty says. I'm telling you, it's going to help you out tremendously.
Yes.
When you think about so far where you've gone in your career and the future of where it's going, let's take the early steps. What do you think were the steps that helped you be successful to get where you are today in your career?
For sure, my master's program. My master's program specifically for me has been an eye-opening experience. My professors have been very great, just solid group of like individuals. And, you know, I've learned so much through my program. I got my current job that I've been working at for a little while now, through my actual master's program.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think building, connections is the way to go. And that, like I said, going to like a boot camp or internships, if you are planning on going to college, you don't have to actually go to college to become a digital marketer. But I mean, it's obviously recommended, like, you know, to get at least have a bachelor's degree. But yeah, I just think building connections and getting to know people is,
when you, just out of curiosity, when you were doing the master's program, was that at the point where you say, oh, I want to be a digital marketer? Or was it like coming out of your bachelor's?
No, coming out of my bachelor's, I was thinking about doing, like I think I said before, a lawyer. During the pandemic, everything kind of slowed down. I decided I'm going to take this time to like really think about what I'm going to do. And I remember just researching one night, like I saw the political management master's program, and I was like, I need to apply for this. And I did. Yeah. And talking to actually the president of our program, I had a meeting with him. And I decided to talk to him because I was like, you know, I know this is like the direction I want to go into, but I'm really trying to figure out like what actual career path I want to pursue. And he's like, well, we have like certifications at our school. It's digital politics. And a lot of the classes within the digital politics of my master's program has like digital strategy classes, digital advertisement classes, and through my job itself, I was like, this is like what I want to do. And I'm still on that career path and that career journey. And my overall dream, well, I want to be a digital strategist. So yeah, I'm still working.
So wait, what's the difference between where you're at now and a digital strategist? Is there a big difference between
digital,
those two?
Yeah, so digital strategy is more of, you can look at it more of the strategist role, right? The media planner. They're the ones that are like, this is when we're working on campaigns, there's one, the ones that actually create the campaign plan. Digital coordinator, I mean, they're the more of the worker, right? So they're the ones that actually do the creative aspect. They write copy. And obviously, either way, like through my position or any other sort of digital position, you are going to be heard, right? Like, so if you are wanting to work on something, or like, for instance, right now, actually, I have a newsletter that I write every week that goes out to the public. And I was tasked to how to get that to the public. And so I'm actually working on with my managers, like how to get that specific project out to the public and how to make it known, right? So through my experience or through my work, it's like I'm also being heard because they want to hear from me as a young person, like how do we get this, you know, bigger. So yeah, so it's like there is differences, but they're all sort of in unified, I don't know how to say it, unified place, you know.
All right, so I love that. I love the role of digital strategies and some of the things you're doing with digital, what you'll be doing in the future with digital strategy. So thank God for the pandemic that slowed this whole process down and you reevaluate it, or else we wouldn't have the amazing, new young mind in the digital world that's going to help shape experience and educate the public in so many different ways with your digital content and strategy. So I'm thankful for that. And then two, I wanted to ask, I'm glad that this happened because I heard about when you got into your master's program, I think it was in the master's program, your mom was telling me about this amazing project that you did that got you so much attention and recognition that I don't know if it was your professor or somebody in the university said they would back it. Could you tell me that story? Tell me about that project that you did.
Yeah. So one of my professors, I wrote, and this was my digital advertisement class, but I had wrote a entire media plan. And we often through my program, we work on like creative projects like this, where we have to kind of build out plans. And so I wrote a plan and he emailed me back and he was like, this is like one of the best plans he's ever read. And he's been working in the field for like a long, long, long time. So to hear that, I was like, I mean, that gave me like I'm like, this is the right direction I'm heading in for sure. And yeah, it's just always nice to get recognition for things. And, for managers or for anybody that, if you're listening to this podcast, like anybody that, you know, you work for, tell your people that work for you, like how much you appreciate them, because they're the ones that really build on these projects. And, you know, sometimes like when you're working, it's like, you can have self-doubt, you know, about like, are you good enough? And I think that gave me, I was like, yeah, like I feel good enough that day. So yeah, it was great for sure.
I love that. And I always tell my leaders and managers that I work with that, you know, recognize your employees and make sure you give them in recognition in the way that they want to receive recognition, because that's so important as well. Cause sometimes, you know, some managers give this blanket like, oh man, great job. That's like, yeah, but okay, what about specifically the job I did was great to you, and recognize me in a way that I like to be recognized. Mm-hmm. Like say, you know, come over and say, you know what, Tyus, I really appreciate this amazing and thoughtful marketing plan that you put together that really highlighted and centered, you know, the Black community and sought out these different things. Like, give me some 3 points that I know that you were intentional about really recognizing my work instead of a blanket statement. Because, after a while, everybody gets a kudos and then it's like, he gives a kudos to everybody. Like it becomes lackluster after a while, right?
It definitely has to have some substance for sure. You know, I think like just knowing, some people are really like, especially I used to work, like I told you, in a restaurant. You know, you're never like, I feel like I was never like appreciated like the way that some people should be appreciated. Like, you know, and it's like, as a manager, you know, you were there at that point to get to where you were, and to hear those words like can really push someone to like become someone completely new and to drive, help them have that drive, right? And I just think that's so incredibly important when you're working in a collaborative work environment, you know. So
and because that just having that leadership, personality, wherewithal creates the culture in the environment of the place you work in. So you're always creating culture whether you want to or not. And it's all based on how you treat and interact with others and communicate with others. So I love that. So when you look at your industry, what do you think the future has in store for your industry, especially for young Black professionals like ourselves who want to get into this space?
Well, I especially for Black, you know, people, you know, I think like for Black individuals, like this is a great career path. The reason why I say that is because, you know, there's so much, like everything's on social media. There's so much in digital, you know, in the digital space, right? You know, activism, you know, getting your voice heard, the best way to do that is through the platforms of our world, right? And there's never been a bigger time than now to reach a wider audience. And no matter if you're starting a business, you know, like if you want to start like an actual business making your own money, or if you want to work in politics, like digital marketing is essential, right? To get more people involved and get the community involved. So for any person that wants to get, I mean, yeah, it's like the perfect place to start, right? Is like learning at least the basics of, you know, how, knowing your audience, knowing, you know, how to market yourself or know how to market a company, right? So,
I started, you're way ahead of me because I started learning all this stuff during the pandemic. And I'm still learning. So you probably could teach me a lot of things, as your mom would say. I used to be out in the community doing everything you're doing and public speaking. And, you know, I never did it on the digital platform until, you know, the pandemic, because, you know, pandemic shut down everything. And people often said, yo, you should start a podcast. You should do this. You should do that. And then, you know, after being in hiatus for some time, you know, I said, you know what? I'm going to start one. And then this thing blew up. And then next thing I know, I got people over in Africa listening to me over in London. And then people would reach out from like the world. When you get to the digital space, the world becomes a lot smaller. Yeah. Like it's crazy to me. Like I used to think the world was really big until like I started a podcast. And then now, like I got people over in other countries that are reaching out to me like, yo, I was just listening to the episode on blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I was like, where are you from? Like, dang, I got fans out there. Like, that's just still crazy for me to even hear me say myself say that. I got fans over in the UK. I got fans over in Japan. I got fans over, you know. And I'm still trying to get adjusted to it. But I might have to pick your brain when we get offline, because I think I might need some of your digital marketing strategies. Yes. Maybe one day I'll be able to afford your services in real life.
It'll be free. It'll be on me. So
so we can put this message out. So let's end off on this, because, you know, this could be me and you could probably talk all day, but I want to make sure that, you know, whatever used to be the drive time nowadays, that I'm doing that in our conversations, so that people are not feeling like this is a Joe Rogan podcast, because I don't think we could do that at all. That's too long for me. I don't even know how he does it, honestly.
I don't know either.
What projects are you currently working on, and where can people connect or find you?
Any and all projects that Headcount work. Right now we're in primary election season, so we're working on getting out the vote, and that's been primarily what I've been working on. Also my newsletter that I write every week, which is called Democracy Defenders. My company that I work for, if you go to, we have an Instagram, we also have a Twitter, we have a TikTok, but we need to get on TikTok a little bit more. We have a Facebook. If you just put in Headcount in any of those social media platforms, you can go and follow us. We're actually working with Ariana Grande right now.
Yes,
we're working with Ariana Grande, so any Arianator fans, come over. Yeah, we always work with musicians. Like, that's our primary objective, is to work with actual like music artists and get people to get out and vote. Nice. Yeah, so that it's super exciting. Yeah, you can go and follow us. We also have a website. So if you are wondering if you're registered, how to even register to vote, when your election days are for the primary season, you can easily go put in headcount.org and put your state in to Google, and you can easily find us on there as well. So.
And don't worry, if you guys are driving or you can't get to a pencil, I'm going to put everything he's saying in the show notes. I'm gonna, hopefully I can get a link from you for the, if they want that newsletter and so forth. If you want to connect, if they want to connect with you personally, do you have a LinkedIn?
Yeah, I have a LinkedIn. It's just my first and last name. I don't know if you want me to spell it.
you got to spell it, but he's on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Well, actually, T-Y-U-S Tyus. So
yes, and then I also have an Instagram. I'm pretty active on Instagram. You can follow me on there as well. So yeah.
Awesome. And I'll get the links for both of those. So for those you wanting to connect with him personally, and he's like, you know, I just like Ty, and I want to connect with Ty personally. You know, I'm cool with the company. I'll get the newsletter, but I like this guy. So I'll get all those so you can connect with him. So let's end off on that note. Any last words of inspiration, I guess parting thoughts of wisdom for any young person out there that you want to leave?
Yeah, you know, right now we're in a time where things are changing, and, you know, for young people, it's so important for us to get out and get involved in our communities, and voting is essential, as well as protesting and whatever you believe in. Like I said, nonpartisan over here, like, you know, it's just so important to get your voices heard, especially for the young individuals out there. So yeah, that's what
you heard it from my nephew. Get out there, get active, whatever you believe in, I don't care what it is, go get active. Vote. Share your voice. It all counts. So thank you, Ty, for coming on, sharing your wisdom, knowledge, and just being an inspiration and a voice for those who may sometimes cannot be a voice for themselves. I appreciate you. Well, and I can't wait to see what the next, what the future holds next for you.
I'll be on your podcast again when
So when you become big time, I need the autograph, all that good stuff. Don't act brand new around me now.
never.
This is Terrell Simmons signing off. Thank you for joining another episode of Rise Every Nation, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of Rise Urban Nation.
Thank you for taking the journey.
Be sure to like, comment, and smash that subscribe button. And stay connected with Terrell on and off the show. Follow at Rise Urban Nation on all platforms.
Do what you love, love what you do. Don't chase the money, let the money chase you.